The ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo is killing hundreds of people a day. Most of those deaths aren't from bullets. Most people are dying of disease and malnutrition. After years of war, the health care system in much of Congo has collapsed. Clashes between militias, rebels, and the army continue to drive farmers from their homes. In the town of Dubié, in the southeastern part of the country, Doctors Without Borders is attempting to provide medical care, shelter, and clean water to nearly 20,000 refugees. NPR's Jason Bobian reports.
When Dr. Hermietta Edenberg walked into the pediatric unit of the Doctors Without Borders Hospital in Dubié on a recent Tuesday morning, the nurse handed her a small bundle wrapped in cloth. The nurse said it was a dead baby that had just arrived, but it wasn't dead, and Dr. Edenberg quickly started CPR on the tiny emaciated body.
N'arrête pas.
Lusaka Bella Kaloy is another victim of a war that officially ended 4 years ago. She was born in November in the jungle. Her parents had fled their village to get away from fighting between the Congolese army and Mai Mai militias. Her mother, who claims to be 20 but looks to be about 14, says Lusaka Bella was born during a two-week trek to get to Dubié. Lusaka Bella is a month and a half old but weighs just 4.5 pounds. Her ribs protrude from her chest, and her tiny forearms are only about as thick as Dr. Edenberg's thumb. Kabila Matumba, a nurse in the hospital, says the baby is sick because people in this part of the Congo, who have been displaced repeatedly by the war, aren't able to eat properly. The Doctors Without Borders Hospital is a simple red brick building. There's no electricity or running water. After thousands of refugees descended on Dubié in November, this pediatric unit expanded from 10 beds to 20. The occupancy rate in December, however, was still 175%, with two children at times sharing one foam mattress. Within an hour, Lusaka Bella's heart is beating regularly again. She's breathing, and Dr. Edenberg has put her on a drip.
The history is that there's diarrhea for a couple of days. So what happened is that she is severely dehydrated, and she came in a really bad state with hardly pulse or heart action anymore because of the dehydration.
This area of the Congo is one of the most remote parts of Africa. Roads haven't been repaired in decades. A deeply rutted dirt track connects Dubié to the regional capital, Lubumbashi. In the dry season, the trip by 4x4 takes 3 days. Now that the rains have set in, the 250-mile journey takes a week and a half. Dr. Edenberg says people in the region haven't had regular access to medical care, and thus they often don't seek medical attention until it's too late.
So even simple, in our eyes, simple diseases like diarrhea, which you can treat quite easily, or simple malaria, children can die of it because there is a lack of primary health care.
An article published in the medical journal The Lancet in January reported that almost 4 million people died in the Congo since 1998 as a direct result of the conflict in the country. Most of those deaths were due to a lack of food and medical care. That staggering death toll continues to rise. Children who fled the fighting are dying now every month in Dubié from treatable conditions, some from malnutrition, some from diarrhea, some from malaria. A group of Franciscan missionaries have run a small hospital in Dubié for decades. The sisters, however, were the only health care provider for miles, and their resources were overstretched even before the population of Dubié swelled from 10 to 30,000 people as a result of the war. Doctors Without Borders originally came to Dubié to bolster the work of the nuns, but then they switched into emergency response mode as refugees started to inundate the town. Because the government healthcare system collapsed years ago, most people haven't been vaccinated for anything. At Camp 2 on the northern edge of Dubié, Jose Kramer is running a measles vaccination campaign. Measles is a real danger here, the Dutch nurse says.
Especially when it is crowded in a refugee camp like this, then it spreads very easily and it kills a lot of children as well because they are already so vulnerable. So that's why a measles campaign is one of the first things which is carried out in refugee camps.
Hundreds of thousands of people in this part of the Congo have been on the move since the fall of Mobutu Sese Seko in 1997. Some people in Dubié lived for several years in the bush before coming to the camps. Others say they moved in and out of their villages as soldiers from various armies and rebel groups swept through the region. And the conflict has left many people with almost nothing. In Camp 3, Kazus Uberlan Kampinga fled into the bush with his wife and 4 children in November.
Kazi tu wudzilwe kunda pua. Bunda piwa dziku tupu.
We had nowhere to take shelter from the rain, he says, and if the Mai Mai found us, they would kill us. He displays the only things he still owns, an axe, a wire for trapping wild animals, a tattered green gym bag, a cooking pot, and a wicker basket. These are his sole possessions. Not only is there no government assistance here, there's also very little international aid flowing in. For several months, Doctors Without Borders was the only international agency trying to help the refugees in Dubié. Back at the hospital, a white Toyota Land Cruiser that serves as the ambulance has just arrived with what the Doctors Without Borders team fears is a case of cholera.
Why don't we put an infusion in the car?
Yeah, also fine.
You have a catheter and everything?
No, we have nothing.
A woman in her late 40s or early 50s is lying in shock on the floor in the back of the vehicle. So far, there have been no confirmed cases of cholera in the camps of Dubié, but there's an epidemic raging through a series of camps to the west of here. A cholera outbreak in the region in 2002 affected more than 10,000 people and left hundreds dead. The staff carries the sick woman out of the ambulance and puts her in an isolated room at the back of the hospital. Dr. Chris Lanson radios the base to ask about getting the ambulance disinfected.
Send it back to the base and we clean it over.
That's very nice. Thank you very much. Over and out.
The doctors are worried that cholera could already be spreading through the camp. Dr. Lanson orders the woman who just arrived to be monitored closely. Walking back to the hospital, she says the patient has classic symptoms of cholera.
Of course, in a camp with almost 9,000 people and poor sanitation, we're very worried about that because that could then spread out into an epidemic. But up to now, it's just a suspicion which we have to clarify as soon as possible.
By the end of the day, it's clear that the woman does not have cholera, but the doctors say the threat of such an epidemic is real. Back at the pediatric unit, the tiny Lusaka Bella is still on a drip, but each day she's gaining more and more strength. The colors come back into her face, and her ribcage doesn't look quite as bony. Even if she emerges from the hospital, however, she'll come out into a country with an infant mortality rate that's 25 times greater than in the United States. Her chances of dying before her fifth birthday of disease or warfare or malnutrition are even far greater here than in most of the rest of Africa. Jason Bobien, NPR News, Dubié, Congo.